The Office of Personnel Management cyber breaches are pushing the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to encourage agencies to move to the Einstein program. That program's billed as a way to uncover and prevent intrusions. Senator Tom Carper is the ranking Democratic member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and that committee has been very actively involved in overseeing the results of the cyber breaches at the Office of Personnel Management. Senator, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. One of the things that we learned at your hearing last week was that you and Senator Johnson, the chairman of the committee, are working on legislation regarding Einstein, the Homeland Security Department's cybersecurity effort, and particularly Einstein 3 and 3A. What are the primary components of the legislation that you and the chairman are working on? Thanks for your time today.
No, you bet. Three or four things we want to accomplish with legislation. One would be to speed up the adoption of Einstein 3A. It's called Einstein 3A. To come on the heels of Einstein 1 and Einstein 2, we want to clarify the Department of Homeland Security's legal authority to deploy and actually run Einstein 3A. Second thing we want to do beyond speeding up the adoption is we want to advance the system's capability. If you think about Einstein 1 and 2, Einstein 1, the job of Einstein 1 or the capability of Einstein 1 was to literally to record malware or attempted intrusions. Number Einstein 2 is not just to record, but actually to detect. And Einstein 3, the idea behind 3A is to actually be able to block the intrusions. And as it turns out, one of the shortcomings with Einstein, frankly, with a lot of other systems of this nature, is that they may be able to record an attempted intrusion or a kind of malware. They may be able to detect it, but the ability to block, and then when there's an attack, it's a new attack, a different kind of attack, a different kind of malware. When that comes along, how does a system like Einstein deal with that? And we want to make sure that the folks developing and furthering the development of Einstein include the most advanced cyber technologies, including those that are available from the commercial level. So, one, we want to speed up the adoption. Two, we want to advance the system's capabilities. And also, there's always have concerns about privacy protections. We want to actually codify into law the kind of strong privacy protections that we expect the Department of Homeland Security to bring to bear with Einstein. And number four would be to increase transparency, to increase accountability in a couple of ways, but one by requiring these annual status reports and also having making sure there's a requirement for audits. So we'll have some metrics to use as we go along.
What do you think are the roadblocks to more agencies being on board already with Einstein, especially the third iteration?
Yeah, I think agencies would first of all, they'd like to know that not only does Einstein have the ability to record intrusions and to detect them, but also maybe start helping block those intrusions, and also as the bad guys get better with their technology, to make sure we have the ability to cope with that. I think, and the other thing is making sure that we're authorizing Einstein 3. It's sort of like the house key. What is it? Good housekeeping seal of approval.
Mm.
There you go. And then I think that would be helpful too. But about half of federal agencies use Einstein 3A. Almost 90% use 1 and 2. And we'd like to get the numbers for 3A up close to 100%.
Do you?
Einstein 3A is not going to stop everything. It'll help us stop some, particularly the stuff that we know more about. But eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to not only detect that which we know about, but that which is new.
Do you have a sense that potentially a carrot and stick approach is necessary, though? Because we're fairly far into the availability of Einstein 1 and 2, and 90% is a nice number until you consider that means 10% of agencies are not really using that technology at all.
I think the agencies have every incentive to get to 100%. And if they have an intrusion and someone says, well, why weren't you using Einstein 1, 2, and 3A? Somebody's got a lot of explaining to do. So I think there's plenty of incentive there. There's a huge spotlight on this problem, this challenge. And if I were leading an agency, if I were the secretary of the department or the head of a part of an agency, I would want to make sure, not just the CYA, as we used to say in the Navy, but I'd want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Senator Tom Carper of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee looking at the issues with the Office of Personnel Management. You were very direct and pretty outspoken about calling for confirmation of a deputy director at the Office of Personnel Management, essentially a COO for that agency. What import do you believe that will make for Ms. Archuleta as she's leading the agency through the rest of the administration, sir?
Yeah, again, Francis, I spent 5 years in the Navy as a naval flight officer in a hot war in Southeast Asia, another 18 years as a P-3 aircraft mission commander, retired Navy captain, and learned a lot about leadership starting from the time I was 17 years old as in Navy ROTC midshipman at Ohio State. But leadership, the most important ingredient in any organization, whether it's military, I was governor of Delaware, in federal government, businesses, most in education, you name it, the most important ingredient is always leadership, leadership, leadership. And the idea that we have this department or this agency of personnel management, we have a still fairly new, about a year and a half now, but a fairly new head of the agency, and haven't had a deputy for a number of years. The president nominated somebody last year, a good person, a Naval Academy graduate, someone who's retired Navy admiral, had all kinds of assignments throughout the Navy, a very laudatory naval career. And so the president nominated a fellow named Earl Gay, and if he'd have somebody that good and just leave him hanging out there instead of bringing him up for bringing his nomination to the floor, I think is just shameful. And so We can blame the director all we want to, but we have a responsibility in the Congress to make sure that she or if it's other agencies make sure that the full complement of senior leadership is filled, those which need Senate confirmation. So this is one that begs for us to do our jobs. My hope is that we will very soon.
His nomination and the holdup to his confirmation have not been a very high-profile discussion until now. What's been the holdup, in your view, as to why that nomination hasn't come to the floor?
Well, actually, the administration is in part at fault. They a couple of years went by; they didn't nominate somebody to fill a position, and then for a while there was not a Senate-confirmed director of OPM. So we had a period of time when we had the director of Office of Personnel Management and the deputy were not Senate confirmed. We need Senate confirmed people. That's not to take anything away from the people who fill in the breach for a while. But so the administration is at fault for not having provided names, nominees. These are tough jobs. These are thankless jobs. But we need excellent people. And I think Admiral Gay will bring with him, with his experience of a quarter of a century or more in the Navy, a broad range of responsibilities and assignments. He is the kind of person they need to, if you will, to get to work, crack the whip on implementing the security enhancements that OPM needs. In a Navy, on a ship or a squadron, you had almost all of them, we had a commanding officer. I was a commanding officer, captain of the ship. And you had an executive officer. And the role of the two were different. And the role of the executive officer is sort of like the deputy, in this case, deputy OPM director. The job of the executive officer on a ship and that of the deputy are to make sure people are working, doing what needs to be done, and keeping taking names and having metrics, measuring performance. That's really the job of the executive officer, and that's the job here of the deputy. And Admiral Gay would be, I think, an excellent deputy for OMB. They need one very much.
Senator, final thought. What kind of feedback are you getting in your office from not just your constituents, but from federal employees all over the country about how OPM is communicating with them, and what would you like to see them do differently or more often or whatever to communicate better with federal employees?
I think the golden rule applies here. Treat other people the way that we would want to be treated, and that's the responsibility of OPM to try to do that. And we in the legislative branch have a responsibility to make sure OPM has, if you will, the resources to carry that out. But a couple of examples. It's important that OPM act with a sense of urgency to reach out and to talk to and communicate with those individuals who are affected, to provide additional information as we learn about the incident, to offer credit monitoring services, to identify theft insurance, provide some counseling where that's appropriate, And I think there have been some tough spots, some rough spots with the recent notification. You got folks doing have long waits when they call in or ask to talk to folks. The contractors that are providing the service are hard to handle some information. For example, I don't know that they've covered themselves with glory in every instance. So OPM needs to resolve these problems. They need to do it right away. And we need to be doing as much as we can to try to prevent harm that might come to federal employees by theft of this data.